Okay, we do appreciate that very much. I want you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms. We're going to maybe kind of let it be our little bit of a family gathering around the Bible here just a little bit tonight, and maybe in a sense count our blessings a little bit. Go with me to the 107th Psalm. Psalms 107. We probably won't get through the whole number of verses because it's got 43 in it. I'm going to point out just a few things in it. If you get your pen out, maybe you can mark a few things as we go through. And the very first verse is, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Then it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We're going to do that just a little bit. "Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." We do have an enemy. We know the old devil and all his tricks, our enemy. Now notice here, he's talking about a group. He's talking about a group of the redeemed. He's saying the redeemed ought to say so. They ought to speak up for the Lord. He talks about kind of what they've been redeemed from. Verse 3, "And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." But I want you to watch your word. In fact, I'd like for you to mark it if you mark your Bibles. Verse 6, you got the word "then." Now he described their condition, described who they were. He said they're the redeemed of the Lord. They ought to say so. And then he talks about what God's redeemed them from. He's gathered them from all directions. They were wandering in the wilderness in a solitary way. They were hungry and they were thirsty. And their soul fainted in them. And then it says "then," T-H-E-N, "they cried unto the Lord in their trouble." Now what you're going to find in this psalm is the word "then" several times. You're going to find, following the word "then," it talks about how they cry unto the Lord and how he delivers them. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." And then here's another verse that's repeated over several times, four or five times here in this psalm, verse 8. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." I thought about this, and I'm going to go a little further in the psalm. I thought about last Wednesday night. We talked a lot about prayer. We read James 5 and we talked about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. We talked about the formula God gave to call for the elders of the church to pray. And then we all went to the altar and we prayed, and we had on our hearts several on the prayer list, long prayer list. Brother Scotty Drake was very, very critical. He has been for two full weeks in a coma. If they'd have disconnected the ventilator, he'd have gone on to heaven. I mean, that's about as close as you can get. Something else breathing for you. A machine breathing for you. We prayed last Wednesday night and felt like on Thursday that we saw the numbers change a little bit for the better. Still on the ventilator, still in the coma. And they were thinking about doing one or two other drastic things and so forth. But I believe, and I don't know if Barbara's back there now or not, but I believe, was it Sunday night he tried to start talking a little bit? I don't see her back there. She slips in back there some when she can. I believe it was, just trying to mumble a little bit. And by Monday morning, it was a wonderful change. And they're still going to have to really work with him on therapy to get him moving again. When you lay flat on your back in a coma for 14, 16 days, you're in bad shape. I mean, to get your strength back, to be able to move again and all that. So he's having to go through all that kind of therapy and all of that. But I was in there today, and like I say, I could talk with him. We could joke about coffee or something, and just wonderful to see what God had done. Now, here's where our fault lies, though, and this psalm is talking about it. We pray, we ask, we beg, and the blessing comes, and we often forget to praise God for it. Right? I do, you do. It's human nature. And that's what you have in this psalm. As you go through this 107th psalm, you find people in trouble. Then they cry to the Lord. Then the Lord delivers. But if you went through the psalm and if you went through the Bible, you could almost chart the up and down of human nature. In trouble, nowhere else, no help anywhere, look to God. God delivers. Here we go. Without taking time sometime to even thank God for the answered prayer. And this psalm ought to speak to all of us a little bit tonight. Most of our praying is asking for something, right? A lot of it ought to be thanking God for what he's given us and what he's doing. See? And that's where our weakness comes in. It really, really comes in there. And I go through here. I can see where the redeemed beg and God answers. Verse 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the way, and then the statement in verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Then you move on down just a little bit, and you notice those that rebelled in verse 11. Because they rebelled against the words of God. Now here's a group. They're in trouble. Why are they getting in trouble? They got in trouble because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. If I've got competition back there, let's fix it, please. I hear something going on back there. If it's a kid that ought to be in the nursery or toddlers, that's where they ought to be. Come on back with me here. Because they rebelled against the words of God, that's why they're in trouble. Do you know that's why most folks get in trouble? It's not they didn't know right, they just didn't do right. Rebelled against the right, rebelled against the words. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought them down. That's the way it works. That their heart with labor, they fell down and there was none to help. Look what a predicament now. They're down. They're down in verse 12. Look at it in verse 13. Got the word then again. See it? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. I think if you go through here, and maybe I won't make it all, but I think I counted 5 thens, T-H-E-N. 5 of them. Trouble. Then they cried unto the Lord. He delivered. And then the verse says, oh, that men ought to praise the Lord. I don't know for sure. There's a lot of argument, but I kind of go with the idea that number 5, now I know it has to do with death, but it was grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that came by his what? Death. I count 5 of these thens, number of grace. Isn't that good that God's grace just keeps on? We go up, we go down, but his grace keeps on picking us up, picking us up, picking us up again. And as you notice through the psalm, I often say no man can write the Bible. The Bible is a supernatural book. God inspired it. You can't put the package together like you see And how it just fits together the whole plan of God. And as you continue to go on down through here, you find where they rebelled, and then in verse 13, here comes the word then again, picks them up. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. I tell you what, folks, I wish we'd cry unto the Lord more before trouble arrives. But we're real good about calling for help when we're in trouble. And that's what it's saying right here. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Then here we come with a repeat of the verse again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Well, this psalm will minister to us deep in our soul and in our heart if we examine ourselves. I don't want to make any funnies out of it, but we're a lot like the man that was working on his roof. And he slipped, and he started sliding off the roof. Now, some of us fellows have been pretty close to that a few times. And on the way down, the other workers heard him hollering, Lord, save me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, help. Just before he fell off the roof, he said, oh, it's okay, Lord, a nail's got me now. Now, we laugh about that, but that's exactly the way we treat the Lord sometimes. Wonder who put the nail in the right place to hook him in the britches in the right place to save him from falling off the roof. We forget sometimes to give God glory when he delivers us. We explain it some other way. Isn't it amazing how we're good at that? I'm thankful in Brother Scotty's case for all the medical attention he got, for all the people that looked over him, but I'm going to look above all that and realize only God touched him. I told him that today, and he certainly agrees to that, and Barbara would, and all of them, the family would. Man, we got to look above. You can try to explain a lot of things, but if you really have a knowledge of God, we ought to be real careful. I just rather do it this way. I'd rather give God credit whether he done it or not. Yeah. That's safe ground. That's a safe place to hang your hat, so to speak. And in their trouble, it says, then in their trouble they cried. And I move on down, and in verse 17, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Now here's another group. We had the redeemed. They ought to praise God. He delivered them out of all their troubles. Those that rebelled and got in trouble, God delivered them again. Now the fools. In verse 17, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Now, that's a powerful verse. Why are fools afflicted? Because of their transgressions, because of their iniquities. Yeah. Sowing and reaping? Sure. It says in verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. In other words, they're sick, they can't eat. And they draw near unto the gates of death. Maybe they've done a bunch of stuff wrong. Maybe it's the natural causes, but here they are at the gates of death. And there's another then shows up. See it in verse 19? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. The psalmist is repeating some stuff over and over and over. We ought to get it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you don't cry to God when you're in trouble. I'm saying don't cry to him when that's the only time you cry to him, is when you're in trouble. A little bit ahead of time, thanking God for what he's done before you get in trouble doesn't hurt a thing. In fact, I think it makes you have a lot better praying ground when the trouble comes. I really, really think so. Sometimes, did you ever make a list like this? Not only, Lord, what you gave me, But Lord, what you kept me from getting. You ever think about that? I think about a story I read in a little church during the war. Was taking an offering. And special offering, whatever the need was, I don't remember. And a mother and dad came forward and gave an offering and said to the congregation, "We're giving this offering, and by the way, I'm going to preface this just a little bit, and hopefully I'll remember what I want to say." Go back to it. When I first came to this church, we had a little piano, which is still up in the Victory Room. That was the first and original church piano when I was here. And we had a much smaller organ than that one. And it was almost new. And Vietnam War, a couple in the church had lost a son. And they had donated that organ and had a little plaque on it in his name. This church was taking up an offering, and a mother and dad came forward. Others was given. They came forward and they said, "We're going to give X amount," whatever it was. "We're going to give it in the memory of our son that was lost in the war, was killed in the war." He went back to the seat, and as others come, a husband whispered to his wife, "We're going to go down and give an offering in the memory of our son." And she said to him, "Our son's still alive. He wasn't killed in the war." He said, "That's why we're going to give the offering." Amen. Think about that a little bit. Sometimes we forget not only what God kept from happening to us, that's a blessing too. Yeah, that's a blessing too. The psalmist here just kind of lays this out for us. Now, the fool gets in trouble. We understand that. But it says, "Then they cry unto the Lord." And by the way, fools cry unto God. Atheists do too. And there's no such thing, really. But they'll cry when the time comes. The old saying, "There's no atheist in the foxhole," that's true. There's no atheist on the plane that's going down, or the ship that's sinking, or laying in the bed of cancer when the doctor says you don't have much time left. You won't find many atheists bragging about their atheism then, I'll tell you that. No, sir. The fool, he'll cry to God just like anybody else. "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them." How do you do it? With his word. "He healed them and delivered them from their destructions." And then here comes the verse again. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." That's where we come short, folks. Praising him for his goodness, for his wonderful works. It goes on and says, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down," and here we go. The choir was singing a while ago. Look at it in verse 23. The choir was singing a while ago about the master of the sea, I believe it was. If you look through your hymnal, you'll find so many seagoing songs, hymns, so many different ones. And I'll tell you this. You're not going to find many sailors when the waves are going up and going down and the boat is in distress. You're not going to find very many of them blaspheming God at that minute. You have the story in the Bible of Jonah, remember? And you remember when the storm come up and the sailors, they were pagans, they were heathen, but they were trying to get through to their gods. Story of Jonah. And they wanted to know who brought this on us. And of course, Jonah's the one finally admitted it and got thrown overboard. But if you out in the ocean where you can't see land and that boat's going up and down like a real storm, you'll find a lot of folks calling on God. John Wesley tells a story. Remember who John Wesley was? He was a famous evangelist, Methodist evangelist. He and Whitfield started out in the Episcopal Church, and they were so plain that the church couldn't stand them and wouldn't let them preach from the pulpit, even though the one of them's dad, at least, was a minister. They went out in the cemetery and stood on the tombstones and preached and had a bigger crowd out there than the preachers could get in their churches, the little ministers could get in their churches. But you remember how they came over to the colonies in America and preached, and you got things named in America now after Wesley and after Whitfield. But Whitfield and Wesley differed a little bit in their doctrine, but they're pretty good friends, and they preach. But Wesley preached a Arminian doctrine for you college students, which was basically had little works in it. Earn your way somewhat. He didn't preach the full grace that Whitfield did, and that's where they clashed a little bit. However, Wesley was a fireball preacher. I read the story one time where he was leading a communion service, the Lord's Supper, in a congregation. And he saw a worldly woman dressed like the world. Everybody knew she was worldly. She'd come into the congregation, and he saw that she was going to take the Lord's cup. He left the pulpit, walked down the aisle, and slapped it out of her hand. He got by with it. He's a fireball preacher, but listen, he wasn't saved. He thought he was. He thought he was doing God's work. He got on a ship going back to Europe, and the ship got in a storm, and everybody was scared, including John Wesley, the evangelist. But he noticed a group of people on that ship that had not lost their composure. They were not crying and screaming out. They had peace. He was so amazed at the peace that they had till he began to talk to them. He found out they were German Baptists. And they explained to him how he could have that peace in Jesus Christ. And in the midst of that storm, Wesley's journal says this: "My heart was strangely warmed." He got straight on the grace of God and on doctrine. And God used him mightily in the midst of a storm. A lot of folks have gotten right in the midst of a storm. Some of the great hymns we sang, and of course, who was it, Brother Bird Stafford, that wrote the "As Well With My Soul"? Yeah, that was a result of his girls being lost in the storm. Here in this text, you've got some sailors. You look at it here in verse 23. "They that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep." Sailors can tell you stories, sea monsters and other things. I suspect any of them that's been in the sea long has got some stories to tell. "See the works of the Lord and the wonders of the deep, in the deep. For he commandeth," God commanded, "and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths." Have you ever seen that? Have you ever been on a boat like that? That's when you... The word seasickness don't quite cover it. It's bad. "Mount up to the heaven, go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then," here comes "then" again. See it? Fourth time. "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses." Same verse, same truth for a different group. "He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still." Then, fifth time now, Then are they glad. This then kind of wraps up all the other thens. Kind of wraps it up. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into the desired haven. And I'll stop here with verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now it goes on with good verses. But I was reading that psalm and I just got so impressed about looking from God's viewpoint, how we human beings, even God's children, up and down. In trouble, God delivers. Get in trouble again, he delivers again. Do we praise him for it like we should when he delivers? Now, the Psalms are a great comfort to God's children. Time to time, I know, and we've had on our prayer list so many folks that are sick, and we have a long list. We can't, and I got to thinking about this a little bit. I believe we ought to pray over every little thing, but I don't think we ought to trivialize prayer. I think we ought to see what a serious thing it is. And it's okay for you to pray for whatever little thing that's important to you. But there are some folks that are in great need. And let's understand that. Because our turn coming in great needs is going to happen too. And I said it last Wednesday night. We don't turn God on and off like a light bulb. He has rules. He has guidelines. He has commands that we ought to know from the Word of God how to frame, as it were, our prayers to the Lord. In the sense of not as the book of James speaks and warns about doing what? Praying amiss, right? To consume it on our own lust. What's he talking about? He's talking about penny-ante stuff of the flesh. Think about what we're doing when we do ask God for something. We are talking to the maker of the universe. We're talking to the one that has all power and one that has all compassion. And if we are grieved today, and I know we are, and we should be, if we are grieved today at the sins of the world, how much more the one they're sinning against first, which is the Creator, which is God himself. Most of us, no matter how patient we are, we run out of patience. And if we were God, we'd probably bring judgment. But in his long suffering, he keeps on giving a chance. He's always got another then and another then as he displays his grace. I want to challenge us tonight to do this. Last Wednesday night, I asked for us to make special prayer, and we did. And we're going to do this, I'm sure, some more. And we still got several on the list, and Brother Scotty is still not totally out of the woods by no means, but we are so proud of God touching him. Amen. But tonight, I want us to end the service this way. Last Wednesday night, we ended the service asking. Tonight, let's end the service thanking God. I think that would be appropriate, don't you? Let's stand. Invitation is, let's just go to prayer and let's just go thanking God, thanking him for what he's done even since last Wednesday night. You don't have to come to the altar, certainly welcome to. You can stay in your seat, you can pray in your heart. I'm going to pray quietly here for just a minute and then I'll make a concluding prayer statement. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We come to you thanking you and praising you for what you've done. Lord, it's not that we don't have more needs. It's not that we don't have more names on the prayer list. But Father, we just feel like sometimes we ought to stop and praise you for what you've done, for answered prayer, for situations that you took control of that we had no answers for. And I pray tonight, Father, as we unite our hearts together to praise you, that you'd accept our thanks, even as a church family, for what you've done for us. Dear God, we're going to keep asking because you give us the privilege to. But Father, help us to not just be one-sided and forget to praise you for every good day you give us. Lord, there are many good days that outnumber the bad days, and that's been true in our lives. And so often, Father, we just always point out the bad days. Forgive us of that. Help us, Lord, to remember we don't have breath or life or anything except by your grace. Help us not to pray amiss, to consume it on penny-ante things that are not really important, but to see the important things, not only to ask you for them, but to thank you after you give them. Bless us as a church and a church family as we pray for each other. As the scripture commands us to do that, to bear one another's burdens. Help us, Lord, to be willing to not only think about our needs, but think about the needs of the others that serve around us and that we know. Thank you again for your goodness and mercy. We ask your continued blessing now on our prayer list in every little detail. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Hector, you want choir practice? Okay, choir, let's get ready for Sunday.